you know, that I know what I notice with Buffalo is it's that whole inferiority complex where, and I notice this on social media, if fans see some national pundit talking about how great the Bills are, they highlight it and they're like, look, this guy's talking about how great we are. And I'm like, that's such a fucking Buffalo thing. Like we have such a low opinion of ourselves that we need to feel good because some national figure is talking about, we know what we got here. Why do we need some fucking validation? Fuck that. But you know, I've seen this fucking movie before. I know how it ends. We're not winning the Super Bowl.
I just want to win the, I want to lose the Super Bowl in the exact same fashion that we lost the first one. where the jaws of victory were taken right at the last second.
Fuck. You know, I mean, I don't know. I do enjoy going to the games though. It's weird. They give me tremendous anxiety like beforehand. I fear going into that place. I fear the whole process, but once I'm in the seat, I enjoy myself and you know.
Does the amount of beer you've consumed help?
No, you know, I don't. I just, as I, the idea of partying, you know, I like, but the when it gets to the reality at my age, you know, I have like 3-4 beers. That's it.
Yeah, it bothers me more when I feel how full and fat my stomach feels and how it's like, why didn't I wear sweats instead of these jeans?
I got this weird thing. I have all these anxieties. I think my father had them. I think that he handed them down to me. I don't know if you can, I don't know if that's like a genetic thing with anxiety, but like whenever I have to go to a place like build, you know, the stadium or something like that, I always worry that I'm going to have to go to the bathroom, you know? I don't know why, but so then I like, I'm probably killing my liver. I like take Imodium before like a Bills game. And it's so stupid because
what does
I'm
that
not,
do? Wait, I don't know what that does.
Just locks you up.
From peeing?
From pooing.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I got my shit wired tight. I don't worry about crapping, but pissing, man. I got a little bladder. And
you know. Oh yeah, at our age, yeah, shit. You know, I mean, that's what when I like buy concert tickets or something like that, I always buy tickets if I can pick the seats. I always buy the end seats, so I don't.
Oh my god, so do I. You should talk to my wife about that.
So I don't have to bother people.
She got us tickets to Steely Dan one time, and it was at a nice theater in Durham. And we were smack dab, and it was like a row of 30 seats. So, you know, you have to go over 15 people if you're smack dab in the middle. And mathematically, I think we are right in the fucking middle of this long aisle thing. And I just looked at her. I thought I was going to strangle her. Because I asked her, I'm like, if you're going to buy the tickets, get them on the end so I can get the fuck out of there. I always have to sit, like, I have a phobia about that. I have to sit on the end.
You know, it's... I'm glad to hear you say that, because I do the same thing as I just said, but now I found a flaw in that approach, because we went to
just to climb over you.
We went to a Bisons game earlier this summer, and you know those are fun. I'm not like a big baseball fan, but they're kind of fun to go to.
Right.
And my wife is a big baseball fan. And so like when we moved here, I'm like, we'll go to Bison's games. So the first one we went to, I bought tickets on the, you know, the first two seats in the row. And we were sitting in a long row and we were on the end. So I wouldn't disturb anyone if I had to get up. And I barely ever got up. So all my anxieties are never founded in reality to begin with. But
right.
Everyone else in the row got up constantly throughout the whole game. So I was doing nothing but standing up to let people go by.
Yep. I've noticed that. I've played that game too. And it sucks. And they're assholes. And it's always the same assholes that keep getting up. They go get nachos. They go get a beer. They get a pretzel. I'm like, yeah, hey, why don't you buy all that motherfucking food the first time?
And you know what the irony is? As old as older people, we're worried about being the ones getting up. The ones who get up all the time are the fucking young kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's... Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's because they have no regard for the people in their row, but...
General lack of self-awareness, I would chalk it up to.
So let me ask you a question. When your wife got you the tickets for Steely Dan,
yep,
was it when Walter Becker was still alive, or was it after he died and they just had Donald Fagen and it was the not real Steely Dan?
I mean, when did this guy die?
So Steely Dan was always those two guys.
Well, Steely Dan is actually a dildo, but we'll talk about that another time.
I know that.
I figured you would. You know that.
It's the only brand I use. But, you know, I got a thing with music. When key members of a band die,
mm-hmm,
they aren't that band anymore. Like,
yeah.
You know, like they had
the. You mean like when Greg left the Wiggles, they just went to hell. Yeah, I know.
When Freddie Mercury died, you know, Queen stopped being Queen. You know, especially when they were touring around with the singer of Bad Company, who's a great singer, but that's not fucking Queen.
Well, my most unfavorite, if you're gonna play that game, my total unfavorite has to be Van Hagar, because like I don't hate Sammy Hagar. But you just, they're like not even the fucking, it's like two worlds. That,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like mixing, they stop.
You know, I was going to make peanut butter and jelly, and I only have peanut butter, so I put sardines on the motherfucking sandwich. You know, you might like sardines on their own or on a fucking pizza or in some kind of Caesar salad. They're not going to go with the fucking peanut butter sandwich.
That is a brilliant analogy. It's you, if you put sardines on a peanut butter sandwich, because you don't have jelly, it's not peanut butter and jelly. And
fucking
these
A.
bands are being passed off as peanut butter and jelly. So Walter Becker died in 2017.
Oh, yeah. This was like circa 2010, 2011, maybe.
Oh, good. So you saw the real.
But I mean, you know me a pretty good bit. But what you probably don't always know is how little attention I pay to things that you would think I pay more attention to. Like probably until about 2 years ago, I only knew who Donald Fagen was. And probably till just now, I didn't really know who Walter Becker was till you just said that name.
Yeah, but
so I couldn't have told you if he was there or not.
I think that's understandable though, because you know who Mick Jagger and Keith Richards are, you know? I mean, but like a band like Steely Dan, you don't, they're not, you don't really necessarily know the personalities, you know? I mean, I do, because I pay attention to that stuff, but like the general public.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
that's understandable. I was a big fan of the band, and I knew Levon Helm and Robbie Robertson. The rest of them, you know.
Okay.
Like, I'll put it this way. When I'm a big Counting Crows fan, and they got a song where the opening line is like, something about the death of Richard Manuel. And I had no idea who Richard Manuel is, so I had to go look him up. And then I'm like, oh, he was in the band. And then I went around acting like I knew that forever.
He was the first member to die. He committed suicide.
Yeah.
I see. I know that shit.
And he's got a very unique voice. I know that.
That whole band can fucking sing, or could sing. I've watched The Last Waltz probably 74,000 times.
Yeah, I watched.
And I'll tell you what, and I was just thinking of this 2 days ago, but The Wait is probably the greatest single a band has ever recorded. That song is so fucking good.
I have a particular preference for The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
That one too. But I think The Wait is just like the best single song.
There's something
ever
about when he goes, I swear by the mud below my feet, you can't raise a Kane back up when he's in defeat. I just love that line. Like, it just gave me chills.
Cool band. Cool band. So I see you got flannel on.
It's cold, brother.
Yeah, it's fucking cold here, too.
Our heat went out. And here's what's really nice when I tell you our heat went out.
You should be happy.
Nah.
I'll tell you why.
Well, I'll tell you why, and then you can tell me why. So I call, you know, the HVAC guys. Dude came over, crawled under my house. I had a snake pit under my house, so that's it was interesting to know. But they're the good kind of snakes that eat rats and squirrels. So, you know, I guess I'll leave them there. Anyway, the pilot light went out. So he cleared some dust, wiped something down, and relit the pilot light. And $240 later, bada bing, bada boom, I got my heat back on.
Yeah, you know, they're saying that heating bills are going to be 50% higher than last year. And some of the most expensive, we're going to see some of the most expensive heating bills in a generation because of all the shit going on in the Ukraine and stuff.
Well, and then juxtapose that with global fucking warming. So, you know, and I'm just being a dick, so I'm not trying to get anything going there.
I don't even know what that means, but.
Well, if the globe is getting warming and we got to pay all this extra money to heat the fucking place, it just sounds
I think it's climate. Know. I think climate change is more accurate.
Well, I like to call it poisoning the planet. But now we're just splitting hairs.
So what are we talking about today?
Speaking of hero worship, we're going to talk about something called Stan culture, like Stan the man.
I love that name.
And I believe, don't you have a Stan story, but from your St. Bonaventure days? Can you share that, or is that a secret story? Well,
this is not, maybe this is what created Stan culture.
I think it is.
Yeah, so the night before we left for college, were you with us?
I don't know. In spirit.
We stole one of those lawn jockeys.
Was he black or white?
He was white. I wasn't playing that game. But and it took like four of us to steal this thing.
Are they heavy?
Oh my God, this thing weighed about 300 pounds. It was solid concrete. And it was about...
I make them that way so assholes don't steal them, huh?
Yeah, it was about 3.5 feet tall. And it had to weigh about 250 pounds. And, you know, when we ran up to get it, we thought we were just going to, like, run away with it. And we couldn't believe how heavy it was and how we didn't get caught because we were making such a ruckus outside this house. But anyway, we brought this thing to our dorm and he quickly became a celebrity on campus. And
did you steal it? You didn't steal it in Buffalo. You stole it in Olean or whatever?
No, we stole it in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know, it's funny you just bring that up because as I'm telling this story, I'm thinking, what the fuck was our parents thinking? They just allowed us. We had to like find room in the car for this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And like they didn't ask any questions about where we got it. They didn't object to us bringing it down. It took up a ton of room in the car. And but anyway, we got it into our dorm and it quickly began this statue or lawn jockey gained cult status. And someone named him Stan. And it was funny. People used to put cigarettes in his mouth. And then like the oscillating fans would blow on the cigarettes and the cigarettes would light up. So it looked like he was really smoking. But awesome. He lasted all 4 years. And then he got done. We put him in a storage closet because no one wanted to bring him home with us after we graduated. So Stan is still down there 30 something years later.
Haunting Devereaux. That's a great story. So Stan culture. Refers to, I don't even know how I came across this, and I don't know that it matters, but it's basically about, it's a contraction, I think, of stalker and fan, right?
Right. From the Eminem song.
From an Eminem song that was fictitious in nature. Then it obviously, like all weird things, it took a life of its own. But I mean,
that's a great song, by the way.
I'm not, you know, I was going to listen to it in preparation for this call, but I ran out of time.
It's a dark song.
Is it a good song?
Yeah.
I'm not, I can't really tell you that I'm an Eminem fan, but I can't say that I hate his music. I wouldn't, in other words, I don't throw the radio out of my car like I would if I was listening to Luke Combs or some other fake country music star.
Oh, God. Jesus. That shit makes me drive off the road.
Is Luke Combs like the fat guy? Maybe I'll give him a break.
I don't know who the fuck he is. I just know it's part of that new country.
I just pulled that name out of my butt.
Awfulness.
So. Anyway, there's a guy. I think he's from Charlotte. He's like a big, heavy set guy. And I give him a pass because I have a special place for heavy set people in my life. Being a perpetual fat person myself. Anyway, but I mean, it's interesting, you know, I started reading in this or reading up on this, and I'm like, I didn't know how to start the subject off other than to say, you know, fan culture or, you know, we'll go with the fan part. It's been around forever, and hero worship and putting people on pedestals and, you know, right. They always don't meet your hero because, you know, you'll find out they're just a regular asshole like everybody else or something like that. But it can really go, you know, from 0 to 1,000 in the days of social media. And one story right. I came across that I thought I'd highlight, you probably know it because you're a media junkie, is that Lady Gaga got into some kind of weird tete-a-tete with, oh, God. What's his name? Do you know this one? No?
No.
Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran said something to somebody or he put something on Twitter that made it sound like he was dragging or giving shade, trying to use all the vernacular right. today, to Lady Gaga. And her fan base are called Little Monsters.
Okay? Really?
And the Little Monsters went crazy and shut Ed Sheeran down. Like he had to get up, it got him off Twitter.
Right. And this is what stan culture actually is, because fascination with celebrity has existed forever. And, you know, the people in the 30s and 40s were absolutely fascinated and, you know, by Hollywood celebrities. This is nothing new.
Right.
But what makes stan culture is the following and communities that exist on social media platforms like Twitter, where a big component of stan culture is the nastiness and toxicity that it breeds. And it's funny. I always witnessed it. But I never knew about the term stan culture until you brought it up as a possible subject. And then I started looking into it, and it's a pretty fascinating thing. And there's a lot, you know, there's so much written on it. And yeah, you're right. One of the components of stan culture, and you just mentioned it with Ed Sheeran, where he got so dragged that he had to get off Twitter, is it's nasty.
Well, it's like the old days of lynching or, you know, the people with pitchforks going to kill Frankenstein or whatever.
Right.
By the way, I introduced my son to the movie Young Frankenstein. Fucking loved it. He loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there, go ahead.
Well, no, there's certain. This doesn't extend to all celebrities. There's apparently a select group of celebrities that breed the stan culture, and Lady Gaga is one of them.
Interesting.
Taylor Swift is another one.
Swifties. They have a name, too.
Yeah, they have a name, too. Nicki Minaj, they have a name. Her followers are called, I think, Barbs. I don't understand that one. There's some Korean boy band that is all over Twitter that has a massive stan culture. They're called BTS, I guess.
ATM.
And they're the emo band Paramore has one. But where I really noticed it, and he's got a massive stan culture following, is Johnny Depp. And I started, and before I knew what stan culture was, I really took notice of this kind of culture during the Johnny Depp trial with his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the components is if you go against the culture, these celebrity supporters just beat the living hell out of you.
Yeah.
And it's funny there. So I was reading up on it, and there's this, there's this professor named Frank McAndrew from Knox College, which I think is in Chicago. I could be wrong about that, but he's written a lot about this, and he says what drives it is this thing called parasocial relationships, which have existed forever. And it's where like the common like person, the regular folk, because they feel so close to a celebrity, they start believing that these celebrities are their friends, even though the celebrities know nothing about these people. So they develop this like closeness to them and this protection of them. And then when you mix social media, and that parasocial thing has existed forever. But when you mix social media, what social media does, a fan will see that they have other people who think like them, and so they immediately think that all these people, because they agree with their position on a celebrity, the person thinks then they're immediately that they're right. And then it fosters this mob mentality. And And there was such a mob mentality during the Johnny Depp trial. I was kind of fascinated by it because, you know, this guy looks like a bag person now. And, compared to what he used to look like in his late 20s and early 30s.
He's gone downhill.
Oh, my God. And there were like some frightening photos that were being posted of this guy from his community. And they're like, this man is gorgeous. It's like, this guy looks like, you know, this guy looks homeless.
Yeah.
And anyone who rightfully said, no, he looks homeless, they got dragged. And I was just like, as a casual observer, I was kind of fascinated by this mob mentality. These people are almost brainwashed. I don't know. It's so weird.
You can't say anything. I'm with you. I was trying to think of a time. I said something to someone who was a huge John Hamm fan.
Yeah.
Like when that Fletch movie was announced, I'm like, no fucking way. And I thought they were going to kill me. Come like, you know, you can say what you want about Chevy Chase, but he was pretty damn funny in Fletch. And I don't know. I never saw the second one.
Yeah.
But the first one was, I was 20 years old. I thought it was damn funny.
Yeah. And the first movie was good.
And Chevy Chase was a great guy for that. To put John Hamm in anything other than a suit where he acts like a alcoholic dickhead boss. I mean, I hate to tell him that, but he's been typecast.
Yeah.
And I said something like, he's not even in that good of shape. He's kind of fat. And man, you thought I would have fucking said, let's go kill some babies or something, because people wanted to take me down. But you know, it's been around for a while. I actually looked into some of the stuff from when we were kids. And like the fucking one murder and one attempted murder that stick out for everyone, and probably me and you, because we were pretty young at the time. But the dude that killed John Lennon, and then the guy that shot Reagan. I mean, both of them, those were kind of acts, either pro or con, of some kind of Stan-esque, I would say.
Right. Hinckley, the guy who shot Reagan, was trying to impress Jodie Foster.
How'd that go?
Well, I mean, as we come to learn about Jodie Foster, that wasn't going to, he wasn't going to impress her to begin with.
Exactly.
She's playing for the other team, but, yeah, but I mean, what did not exist was the mob mentality or the community that, you know, bred a toxicity to anyone who, well, in Hinckley's case, wasn't a Jodie Foster fan.
Well, it's just so much easier to do this today, to mobilize the fucking masses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, back in the day, like, I delivered the newspaper. I think you did, too. That was our fucking source of information to the world, right? I mean, what was on the local news and in the newspaper. But, I mean, I got on the internet this morning, and in about 30 minutes, I knew everything that happened last night around the fucking world. And because of that, I had to make judgments on all of it. You know, some guy got run over by a truck in Manhattan, and some asshole went up and pickpocketed him while he laid there dead in the street. You know, now that may have happened a million times in the past, but because I never knew about it, I didn't have to place judgment on it.
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, except a lot of shit that we're being fed now is news. I don't know if it would have made, you know, the newspapers back in the day.
Did you just fall?
No.
Are you okay?
The video component of our podcast is sucking a lot of energy from my computer, so I got to plug in.
Oh, yeah. I hate that when that happens.
Keep going.
No, I guess what I was trying to think about was, like, how it all comes back to social media and how we're controlled 24/7 by internet. I mean, I'm on the internet a lot more than I wish I was. And yeah, now I see my, you know.
I was thinking about that because when the internet first came about, I avoided it for like 7 or 8 years of its existence.
Interesting. And you were in the media.
Yeah. But I didn't need it back then. And I was still doing things the old way because I was, you know, raised in the old way. So I didn't, I don't know. Like, there was a thing called computer-assisted reporting when the internet started coming around. And, you know, if you wanted to learn that, you would take, like, these professional development classes. And I always avoided it because I just did my own. I just did it the old school way, you know?
I hear you. Well, one of the other things I wanted to kind of, I mean, not the last thing, but but there was a statement from some psychology report that I kind of breezed through that said, you know, on the worst case or in a worst case scenario, you have people that would do anything, you know, a celebrity might instruct them to do,
mm-hmm.
whether it's good or bad. So, like, you know, when you got like a Snoop Dogg or even a Johnny Depp or a Madonna talking about killing anyone, whether it's the Orange Man or the Pink Man or somebody else, you know, that can get pretty fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
You're putting, you know, there was a guy that just got interviewed the other day on Fox News. I'm sure you watched it, but that was one of the most bizarre interviews I've seen in a long time.
What?
Kanye West?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're on vacation. Maybe you didn't see it.
I heard about it, though. But, yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch some of it, though. It's just, you know what? I'm going to be a total asshole, and maybe I'll get dragged on the internet for it because I have so many followers. But, like, it reminded me, the way he was talking with Tucker Carlson and the way Carlson was responding back to him. You know, like, when your 6-year-old kid says something that's deemed precocious, and like you and grandma and everyone else like go, oh, look, little baby's so smart. I mean, that's what I saw, like a grown-up analogy of that. And it was just, and then to see like all the praise the interview got, I was just like, what am I fucking missing something here?
Well, I mean, these fucking networks now, like Fox and MSNBC on the other side, you know, it's just people fucking validate, like they're, it's just, it's all about opinion validation. It's, you know, and which I just don't understand. I would much rather, as someone who's on the left politically, watch Fox News, because I'm fascinated by what I think is the ignorance of the other side. I don't need my opinion validated by MSNBC, who I disagree with all the time anyway, but you know, that's just, opinion validation isn't fucking, doesn't interest me. And I did read about the Kanye West interview, and I thought right away, one of the things Fox News loves to do, and they don't care who it is. And by the way, Fox News has ridiculed Kanye West in the past. But if they can find, if they can find a black person, especially a black celebrity who agrees with the conservative, you know, viewpoint, you know, they will trot them out. And what kills me too is they are the first ones to mock and ridicule celebrities, except when they find a celebrity who agrees with them, you know? So yeah, the whole thing, as I was reading some, you know, psychological breakdowns on Stan culture, one of the things that psychologists have noted is when a community throws its support en masse behind a celebrity, and this will explain, you know, the orange person, you know, loyalty trumps fact. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, and you'll overlook their negative deeds, perhaps their negative personality traits, whatever. I mean, you definitely, I mean, come on. You got old Christian ladies that are wearing Trump hats and shit like that. And I mean, you know, you would never think Bible thumping people would love that fucking guy. Like,
oh no.
Like, go back 20 years when I remember he would come on the Howard Stern show. And again, I don't think Trump's changed one bit. He was fucking asshole back then. But he'd get on Howard Stern and make fun of Rosie O'Donnell or whatever the fuck he would talk about. And him and Howard would yuck it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they loved him then because he was just a benevolent rich asshole, you know, or whatever. I don't know what he was perceived, to be honest with you. But he was definitely a lefty loved individual. And now, I mean, fucking, there's a guy that lynch mob is, you know, probably waiting in the wing somewhere for.
Yeah, I was just listening. I was listening to an old replay of a Howard Stern show from, I think it was early 2000s. And Donald Trump was on with AJ Benza. AJ Benza is a Hollywood gossip reporter. He was really well known for a few years in the early 2000s. And Donald Trump and AJ Benza apparently fucked the same woman. Say they were on the Howard Stern show
comparing notes or what?
Arguing over, you know, who this woman loved more, because they both fucked her. And they played this while Trump was president. And I'm thinking, like, this guy became president. And one of the reasons he became president was he was helped in large part by this Stan culture that exists. And Trump is brilliant in a way, because he doesn't have Now, this is my opinion, but I think if you really study it, it'll be backed up. But I don't think this guy has a single true political viewpoint or principle. This guy is a marketer. And I think whatever self-motivates him, he will throw out a position or an opinion. And I think what his MO is, he wants to see how much traction it gets. And as long as 51% of America agrees with him, it advances his cause, and he goes with it because, again, it's part of this stan culture. Loyalty trumps fact. So whatever exactly. He says,
a good example of it.
Whatever yeah. he says that he can get away with, if enough people agree with him, that's what he'll go with.
All right, well, let's move on from the orange guy because
no, but like, it should
be called the black hole because he sucks everything.
Yeah, I agree, but it is part of stan culture. I mean, like
absolutely.
If you want to look at stan culture, have you seen, by the way, the video that's making its way around social media and the internet now, speaking of all this, where these two older women down south are talking about how how liberals and immigrants for Halloween are going to be giving kids fentanyl because they heard it on Fox News. Have you seen this? I'll send it to you.
I have not.
It's I was talking to a friend about this and he's like, this is funnier than Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, but it's not. Like this is 50% of the country now believing this horseshit.
The problem is what you just said, which is the reality that we're being fed on the news. Like Saturday Night Live used to be, you know, when we were kids, they would spoof the news and it was funny. Right. But the news is now a spoof of the news.
So, oh yeah, there is no news media anymore.
And now, it's part funnier, of the
part of the problem is everyone groups the news media together as one. You know, like, but newspapers and network news are not the same thing, but they get lumped in together. But you know, if you're gonna people basically think of the news media as the network stations, and there is no news media anymore. You know, networks now have taken sides, and both sides just exist now to embarrass or, you know, criticize or gang up.
It's like a marriage, you know, like you've been married a long time, myself as well. We know a lot of people that are so happily married. As a friend of ours quoted, it's the greatest institution known to man. We should all be institutionalized.
Exactly.
But like, if you went around just looking at all the negatives about your wife and not the positives and just ignoring the positive parts of her personality or just her actions or whatever, you know, you're setting yourself up for your own like anti-stan, because you know, like there's a hero and then anti-hero, so anti-stan culture. I don't know what that is, but it's just like hating everyone, I guess.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, I've known you your whole life, or most of it anyway. And if people ask me about you, like, oh, how are you and your buddy? Like, I've had people ask me about the podcast. Like, you guys prepare a lot for that? You seem so natural together. And I'm like, you'd be surprised at how little preparation we do.
There's no preparation. I think that shows.
I mean, I told you. Well, it doesn't. That's where I think you're a little bit mistaken, my friend. Because, I mean, even your own relative who I talked to about podcasting, I think he was a little shocked that he thought we prepared more than we probably do.
Yeah, my brother. My brother didn't even tell me he was calling you.
Yeah, we just reviewed some stuff, but he's like, you guys have, you know, it sounds like you prepared quite a bit for the show. And I'm like, yeah, no. But, you know, whatever. But my own point, other than to say, you know, these two sides, it's almost like they're in agreement that they're just going to throw each other under the bus, and it's a race to the bottom to see who can get more followers.
Well, the irony is the news media has become part of stan culture because it's divided now into groups. Each group has its, you know, cult.
Yeah, but here,
follower, well, community, and agree. It
well, all those things are true, but where the point I'm trying to make is, you take someone like, oh, I don't know, fuck, what's his name? Not John Stewart. Who's the liberal guy that's now like Mr. Conservative? Fuck, I should have wrote his name down. Come on, he's on HBO. Fucking guy.
Bill Maher.
Yeah, well, he's like actually, Mr. Conservative now.
He's actually a libertarian, but.
Yeah, but you know, I've had people tell me that fucking libertarian is like the worst thing you can be.
Well, I think libertarians are just conservatives without a conscience, but.
I think that's what someone, maybe it was you. See, you don't think of their good qualities that for most of it, like, okay, I still have a couple of pot stocks. And when Joe Biden said, I'm going to release all the hounds and let the pot dealers out of jail or whatever the fuck he said, all the pot stocks went up. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, fine. Look, I think Bill Maher is smart. And I think, you know, the problem
he's stealing readership or he's trying to grow his stan culture. Look, if you've got every liberal buying from you, how do you grow your business? You steal some conservatives and bring them into your camp, right?
Yeah, well, and he's another one. You know, he was always criticized by Fox News, and now he says something that they agree with, and they hold him up as, like, the standard bearer for sanity, you know?
The best part about Fox News is they got Sharon Osbourne joining the team.
Oh, fucking Christ. You know, hey, you know, the left deserves all the ridicule, because they're just, they've become so ridiculous that they're going to become irrelevant. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I recognize that, you know, but,
I mean, the people that pioneer this, I think are, Mary Madeline and that fucking idiot husband of hers, Carville.
Well, yeah. And, but they were both very good at one time at what they did. So, I, you know, maybe that's largely a joke by you, but I think there's some truth in that
they were pioneers of that.
Yeah. The foundation of this, social media is the main ingredient to stan culture, but I think you're right. I think I think Carville and Madeline laid the foundation for it. Definitely. You know,
I mean, there's the divide part and then there's the conquer part, right? People say those two together all the time, but they are two separate things. So you first to before you conquer, you got to divide. And yeah, you're seeing those things happen across the board.
Well, right? You know, along that line, and those, they were both political strategists, are both political strategists. They're not dead yet or anything, but that's actually a component of stan culture too, is that these cultures can hasten the trajectory of someone's career or importance. And what psychologists say, what that breeds is something called soft power, where these celebrities all of a sudden gain this ability to impact diplomacy. And going back to pop groups, one of the biggest, as I said, I don't want to say benefactor, but you know, that there's this Korean boy band called BTS, and they have this massive stan culture following. And
are you a fan?
No, you know, I don't really even understand it. It's just something I see constantly. And I'm always thinking, like, who the fuck are these people? But what's happened with them is they have gained so much popularity so quickly that they have appeared at the White House and they've been invited to speak before the UN. And you know, this is just like a Korean version of Backstreet Boys, but they've developed this, what psychologists call soft power, and it's led them to impact diplomacy.
Is that like Dennis Rodman going to North Korea?
You know, to some extent. I mean, I don't think he's got, I think his time has passed. I don't think he's not a celebrity like he was, because he's older
Sean
now.
Penn, should he go back to Venezuela and get us some oil?
You know, I know what you're saying. I don't think I would equate those two, but I think those guys precede Stan Coulter, but
a migration of sorts. Like, how, they're different, but there's similarities, right? But
anyway, they say that Stan Coulter too took off during the pandemic. They trace
it's always it been with back, us, don't you think?
Yeah, they.
Well, there's less for people to do, you know, for themselves, right? I mean, when you're stuck in your house for 2 years, you're going to get on the internet. That's your entertainment. That's your connection to the world. So,
I guess
it's not shocking. Well, I mean, you know, ask Alex Jones. It's probably all done by design. You know, see how they can control us.
You know, I think I was the only one who went out during the pandemic pause. I could not stay home. I was out.
I used to go drive around like super fast on the highway and stuff.
I went out all the time, and you know, I don't know. Whatever I could get away with doing, I did, and I believed in like all that shit. You know, I wore a mask and I got vaccinated, but I couldn't fucking. My attitude was, I'll do what they suggest, but I can't stay home. And if I still get sick, I get sick. But you know, I tried to be a good steward and not like, you know, breathe on other people and shit like that. But I was really worried about like some of my favorite bars. So during the pandemic, I would go to the bars, and even though you weren't allowed to sit there, I would buy, you know, shit from them and to bring home to support them, to make sure that they didn't close.
Right on.
Because my bars are important to me, damn it.
I understand. You got to have your priorities, big dog.
You got to have a neighborhood bar. You got to have a place to go.
Agreed.
Maybe that's my version of community, of Stan culture.
I mean, you know, recently someone asked me, I haven't met too many famous people in my life, and I'm definitely not friends with anyone that I know to be a celebrity. But like, you know, I had the occasion to hang out with Beetlejuice, speaking of the Howard Stern show, who he resembles the mayor of Chicago in an odd way. And
He actually does.
Yeah, like, I actually got my picture taken with him and his girlfriend at the time.
You sent it to me.
Party, yeah.
I can vouch for that.
But I'll tell you, I wish he would run for president, because he seemed like the most genuine fucking person. Like I had hero worship for him. And then when I met him, he was exactly what I thought he would be. And, you know, what was nice was I asked him if I could call my brother, because my brother was a fan. And he goes, yeah, call the motherfucker. So I called up my brother. I said, Joe, somebody wants to say hi to you. And he's like, yo, Joe, what's up, motherfucker? Yeah, that's me. And he had a wonderful conversation with my brother. You know, he just was a great guy. I bought him a drink and shot the shit with him for a while. And, you know, I would vote for him.
Beetlejuice is not only my favorite Whack Packer, he may be the last completely authentic person in America.
The man has no hidden agenda, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's where we end. We wrap up the show today is on Beetlejuice, because you can't top Beetlejuice.
Nope. Listen, you have a great week, buddy. Good talk.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Stay free, my man.
Yep, bye.
Bye.